Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Get into the Word of God. You know, I'm gonna tell you the title, and it's called Trust in God. You know, so many times when our world, I feel like everybody's a little distrusting right now. It's kind of taken the trust out of things that we would probably normally trust. I was thinking about it. I went to Trader Joe's the other day, and I never really think, and I'm a germ freak, but I normally don't think too much about the cart and like my purse sitting on the cart, things like that. I've kind of gotten over that. I did that with my first kid, and my in-laws laughed at me always because I would make, you know, that little makeshift table at the restaurants, and my mother-in-law was like, really? They need to build up their immunity system. She was right. And so now we are getting back to this panic of don't touch anything. Don't do anything. And it's such a fear-driven spirit. And so we need to understand what we're coming up against. I understand it's real, so please don't email and say, well, you know, you're disregarding. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're speaking faith. We're going to give you the word, and we're going to see what God says about this. But in this, we have to trust God in the hard times. We've been built up as a church on a daily basis. We come into church, we worship God, we say we trust him, we say we believe in him. But I would really want you to check yourself today and say, do I? Do you give God trust over every part of your life? Or do we give God trust in the little pieces and places that we know are for him? And then the other places, just don't go there, God. Like, I don't want you to touch that because I like the way that it is. And see, I feel like God is saying, I'm stripping you right now, church, so that you can stand up and know that I am God. And that I am God on earth, and I am God in heaven. I am the one who created the oceans, and I parted the sea from the land. I am the one who knew you in your mother's womb, and you need to learn to give it all to me again. You need to remember that I am not human, and I will not let you down. I will not forsake you. I will not be like those that have brought those things into your life. I am the one who is stable and constant and steady, and he is trustworthy. He's the one we can lean on in these hard times. He's the one that when we don't know what we're going to do next, he's saying, I'm right here. Would you just lean on me, church? Lean on me. Trust in me that I'm holding you in my hand, that I've got your future ordained and anointed for what it is that I have for you. You see, we've got to get ourselves into a place of trust. When I was talking to God, he was kind of walking me through some things, and he goes, you know, so many broken relationships happen in the human life that what ends up happening is you've become a society, this is what he told me, that doesn't trust people. But what happens is then you bring that into your relationship with me. And God says, I am not a man that I should be treated as other men or peers of yours. You may have a husband who has walked out on you. You may have had children that do not serve God right now. You may have been broken by a boss at work, or something happened and you're untrusting. Maybe a best friend talked about you and shaded you. I don't know what it is that you're walking through, but I'm telling you right now, God is not them. And so we need to make sure that we are not putting God in the same category during these crises. That he is just like everyone else that's let us down. God is saying, would you put your trust back in me? The one who created everything. You remember who I am. I think of Job. I was thinking on Job so much, and he had everything stripped from him. He had all these things taken from him. My favorite verse of the Bible is when Job is talking and God begins to jump in after everyone else had what they had to say about God and Job. And he says, do you not know who I am? And I feel like that's what God is saying to his church right now. Do you not know who I am? Because I am the God who heals. I am the one who went to that cross for sickness and disease. I am the one who knew that all of this would happen before it did. Why are you not at rest and peace and in trust in who I am? Not what the government is saying, not on the time periods and the frames of which they're telling us to stay in our homes. This is not what our life is ran by. Our life is ran by the word of God and what God says. And God is saying, trust me, church. It is time for you to trust me again. It's time for you to let yourself go and be all of who I've asked you to be as a child of the Most High God. God has a word for us today. We need to test ourselves in this. As I was thinking about this, there was a woman in the Bible who I admire greatly. Actually, my mom is named after her, Deborah. And my daughter Chloe's middle name is Deborah. She's a strong woman. And let's go there. I want you to take your Bibles out. Go with me to Judges 4, 1 through 5. Judges 4, 1 through 5. Deborah was a woman in the Bible who kind of, I'm mesmerized by her every time I hear about her, because I think, how could one woman do so many amazing things all at once? But then I think about all of you. You know, you're right now, you're homeschooling moms, some of you. Some of you are nurses taking care of someone who's sick in your home. Some of you are working from home. You're still cleaning the house. You're making how many? I think I make like 5 meals a day now. I was adding it up. You know, I'm cleaning dishes. I feel like you finish one, you start a new. You do loads. You're doing that. You're running businesses. You are, as Deborah is, we are multitaskers. We carry great loads. And yet, who could we learn from? Her name is Deborah. Let's learn from Deborah. In Judges 4, 1 through 5, it says, let's read there. I'm sorry, I needed to already be there. I didn't have this on my notes. So let's go there together, girls. Pastor Jess. I brought my other Bible. It says that, all right, 4. 1 through 5. It says, when Enoch was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Ooh, that kind of sounds like the world we live in, huh? A lot of evil going on. So the Lord said to them, in the hand of Jabin the king and Canaan, who reigned of Hazar, they commanded his army of Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth. Okay, listen, I'm not the name person, so we'll move right past those names. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Ooh, that's the church. We need to cry out to God. For Jabin and the 900 chariots of iron. For there were 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. We have been in our houses for 2 weeks. This is 20 years of oppression against the church. Quit being so wimpy. We can do this, right? Sorry, I just have to like kick your butts a little. All right, verse 4, and it says, now Deborah. So who comes on the scene right after all of this calamity? A woman. I love how God uses us. Sometimes the church wants to say that we don't have a place, but I'm here to tell you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is using the women of your homes. You are the head that moves, the neck that turns the head. You are the one that creates the atmosphere. And here was Deborah. Let's see who she was. A prophetess. I love that. A wife. Ooh, I like that. And a judge of Israel at the time. She would sit under a palm tree and Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and in the mountains of Ephraim. You sometimes I feel like we're sitting between the living and the dead as Christians. And we're blocking those things that the enemy is bringing against our families and our homes and our churches. We need to be like Deborah, and we need to stop those things before they happen. We need to command those armies that want to come against your family to go back to hell where they came from, and they don't get to touch your homes. And so here's Deborah, a mighty woman of God, standing between the two things. And she would sit under this palm tree in verse 6, and then she sent for, I love this, Barak, the son of Abiam from Kadesh in Naphtali. And she said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy the troops to Mount Tabor? Take you 10,000 men and the son of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera. Sisera was the one coming against them all. He was coming against the whole group and they were going after them. And then I love later in verse 8 it says, this is what Barak's response is to her. Now this is a strong, mighty man. He's a man of valor. He leads armies. He knows what he's doing, but yet he says this in verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you go with me, then I will go. But if you do not go, I will not go. What is that saying to me? That said to me when I was reading this, that God anointed Deborah to be able to speak as a prophetess, his words from heaven to people. He anointed her to judge those things, to decipher what is right and wrong. And here's Barak. He recognizes the trust of heaven on this woman, and he says, if you're sending me into battle, you better go with me because I need God on my side. You see, we can learn from Deborah that God is on our side as the daughter of the Most High God. This is not a word just for me, Pastor Jess, or Pastor Deborah, or Reverend Teresa, or Pastor Sue. This is a word for you, church, saints of the Most High God, that God is building you up. He is raising you up. He has put in you the Holy Spirit living daily, and you need to lean on the one we trust so that when we can do what God has asked us to do, that he will give us more in our hand, and we will be blessed with it, and people will see the goodness and the glory of God in what it is that we've been asked to do. So the question is then, after listening to Deborah's story, how can I be more like Deborah? How can I trust God in these hard times? How do I know if maybe I'm not trusting God in these hard times? Maybe I think I'm trusting God in these hard times. Well, I have four things that we're going to just check ourselves with, okay? So today, we're going to just check our hearts. We're going to readjust ourselves, realign ourselves with the Word of God, and we're going to get into what it is he says. The Lord told me this first one. It says, number one, he has to be first in our lives. You know, so many times you think he is first in your life, right? If you were to say, is God first in your life? Yes, he is. Well, you've been sitting at home and you have a lot more time to read your Bible. But how about when your world gets full again? Is God first, or are the sports games first and all the practices and all the parties that you have on weekends and you miss church? Yep, pastor's going to say it. And you guys miss getting yourselves into the house of God. You forsake the assembling of brethren, and we say we put God first. And yet I am here to ask you the question. When you miss out on opportunities to be in the presence with other believers, do you fill yourself back up later? Because so many times I have conversations with people and they go, no, actually, I don't. I've really gotten lazy in my walk with God. I'm not reading my word every day like I used to. I'm not praying like I used to. I'm not actually journaling out conversations and things that God wants me to fix about myself, because I'm not even giving him the time. And so God is saying, listen, church, I need you to trust me, but that starts with making me first in all you do. You know, Sunday is the beginning of a week. And back in the day when we had church on Sunday, it wasn't for any reason. It was because it was the first of the week. God asks us that when we have our tithe, what does he ask for us to do as Christians? He says, the first of your income, that 10%, you take it off the top and give your first to me. God is asking us at the first of the week to give our first to God. You see, God speaks in so many different things. We don't just make these things up. This is all his idea. And God is asking us to put him first. When we wake up in the morning, don't just start talking or get on your Instagram or your Facebook. Don't just start talking to your kids, tell them, hold on, guys, let's go sit down for a second and let's read a verse together. Let's pray together. And then we can get into breakfast. We can get into all those other things, because I'm here to say that when we do not show our children, women, that God needs to be first in our lives, it is a living example that he doesn't need to be first in their lives. And so God is asking us to set new ground and be living examples and testimonies of that he is God and he is God on the throne, and we honor and we praise him and we put him first, even in these hard times that we find ourselves in. And when this changes, let's not get weak and run from it. Psalms 31:6 says, ooh, these verses, I hate those who pay regard to vain, empty worthlessness, idols. How many idols have we all had? I have idols in my life. Things I go to instead of God first. What, Pastor Jess, you do? Absolutely. I am human just like you. I'm not any more anointed to live this out than you are. And so God is saying and stirring me up, what are you going to change about your routines and your dailies? What are you going to change about your prayer life, Pastor Jess? What is it that you need to do and change in your thought process where you think this way, but I need you to start thinking like I think? What are you speaking out of your mouth? See, are you putting me first in what you're saying, or are you just putting first your feelings and then later coming up with the word? See, God is asking us to put the word inside of us so that when these things come up, the first thing that rises up out of us as the women of the Most High God is the word of God, faith and life. See, God wants us to give ourselves not over to idle things. Then it says, but I trust in the Lord Woo, hallelujah. And I rely on him with unwavering confidence. You can be confident that God has your back. You can be confident that when you put God first, he's going to take care of you. When you tithe that 10%, God's going to take care of the 90%. You can't afford not to tithe. When you choose to walk in love when others are treating you wrong, but you show the love of Christ anyways, and you choose to do that the right way because you're being like Christ when others aren't, then guess what? God's got your back. He will silence the accusers. He will stop those that are coming against you. You see, he is your defender. He is your strength, but he has to be first in our lives. Making God the top of our priority is something that we have to insist on in our lives. And God is asking me to ask you, will you please readjust your life? Start thinking about how this can look for you, for your family, for your children. You're the ones that are the atmosphere of the home. Create me first in your home. Maybe you got to throw out some bad video games that your kids are watching. There's a lot of cussing in them. Maybe there's some things that you're listening to that you shouldn't listen to anymore. Maybe worship needs to be over the sound waves in your home during the day. Maybe you need to start a Bible study with your family. Maybe there are things that you need to put into practice in your homes so that you will be built up in these hard times and not waver and walk in fear and worry and terror. Because God says that he is the one who comforts, who's our strength. And when we lean on him, we no longer have to worry or be in fear. I love what God is saying. I want you to know that when we choose to put God first in our life, that he comes after us boldly. When I put God first, he comes after me boldly. What do I mean by that? That means he knows that before I get out of bed, I've made a new routine for myself, and I say, good morning, God, even if my eyes are closed. And all of a sudden, he'll whisper something to my heart. Then I'll feel him like kind of knocking at me like, hey, I want to tell you something. And I'll just stop. What do you want to say? And you know, he will just speak nuggets to me all day long to get me through the my thoughts go there too. My worries go there too. I question life. I question things. Those are very normal for humans. But listen, we have a spirit man living on the inside of us that we've got to build up, and our flesh needs to die to what the spirit wants to do. And so let's put God first in all that we do. I love you so much. I have a poem for you, and I just thought this was just such a beautiful poem, and it says, but if not, God is able to deliver from weariness and pain, and he will deliver swiftly. I love that. If it be from lasting gain, if not, my heart shall sing, trusting wholly in my King. God is able to supply me with abundance from his store, and he will supply my table. Though the wolf may be at my door, but if not, my heart shall rest in the thought that he knoweth best. God is able to defend me from the foes and the throng around me, and he will defend me surely when their rage and their hate abounds. But if not, I will bless his name and confess him just the same. God is able to save to dear ones from the world and to self and to sin. He will both save and keep them in his fold, safe gathered within him. But if not, he will hold my hand, teaching me to understand. He is God. Listen, trust him whether you see it or you don't. It's called faith. It is time for us to step in to our faith woman. It is time for us to become the supernatural woman that puts God first. If you're a man listening, you need to put God first in your lives. Number two, he's asking us if we want to be those that trust him. We have to believe this, his word. And God spoke this to me. Tell them not parts of my word, but all of my word. It is all true. From front to back, he ordained it. He breathed on it. He anointed it. It is his word. It's what we can live by and stand by. He said it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good news? That this is not antiquated. It doesn't not relate with what we're going through right now. Read the Old Testament right now, and you'll feel like a wimp because they went through hell and God delivered them out of so many battles and so many plagues and so many things. And yet God is on our side right now, church. He's holding our hand through this. He's strengthening us. I believe the church is going to have double portion this year. I believe that his word is going to stand firm and strong, and it is what will keep us. Pastor Deborah preached last night, and if you didn't listen to it, go back and get it. And she said we have to speak the word. The word is what is truth. It is what we have to pronounce over the things that want to speak louder than what God says. And so believe our word. Here's David in these verses. Go to 2 Samuel with me, 7:28. 2 Samuel 7:28. I'll have it up on the screens for you because I'm going to use the Amplified version. And in these verses, he's getting ready to build the temple. But before he goes into this big endeavor of building this temple, I love what he does. He takes a pause moment to remind himself about God's word. Sometimes we step into these big moments, and we are faced with big decisions right now. And for Dan and I, you know, we had to move this massive ship in like less than a week, and there were so many decisions coming at us. And in that moment, we would stop and we would say, we need to pray. We need to go get into our word. And we were anchoring ourselves in scripture in order to make the decisions that we had to make. And so here was David, and he wanted to remind himself what God says. 2 Samuel 7:28. And now, O Lord, you are God. Woo! Right there, that'll preach. And your words are truth. Listen, the words of what people are saying, if you get online and you ask, like, just a simple question about the disease that's going around, you're going to get 5,000 different explanations of what the timelines are like and who's doing this and how many people and all. They're all confused. Nobody is making sense anymore. But you know what I can stand on? I can stand on God's truth that says that I am healed by the stripes on the cross, and that any disease that comes near my way, it will not live, and it will not take me out. And that even if I were to die, because I'm asking this question, if you're in fear, what are we afraid of, Christians? To die is gain. And so I would get to go be dancing on streets of gold. Hello, that's way better than sitting in my house. And so it says, and now, O Lord God, you are God and your words are truth. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. Are you a servant of the Most High God? Are you a woman after God's own heart? Are you a woman ready to trust God, put him first, and believe in his word? Then guess what? He has promised you that he's going to deliver you. He has promised you that he loves you. And David had to go remind himself when he was facing this big task that God had asked him to do. And so, girls, as we are here in these moments, and you are faced with new things to have to be creative in, new ways to do life, I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is creative, and he's living on the inside. Side of you. So get into your word and see what he wants to speak to you, because what he says to you will be a path for you to walk down. It will lead you into righteousness and goodness and glory. So instead of reading all of the stupid newspaper articles, why don't you get into your word and read the word? Build yourself up in your most holy faith. We can believe God at his word. What I mean by this is, if his word says it, then I can live by it. Done deal. That's how it is. And so when the world wants to say, well, you can use scripture for anything that you want, people can twist scripture. But when you are reading the word of God, I want you to get into it for yourself. Don't trust me in this. Go find it out for yourself. Don't just think, oh, well, Pastor Jess and Pastor Deborah, Pastor Dan, and all the ministers over at The Rock, you know, I'm just going to do what they say. No, you go find out for yourself. You get into the word yourself. You find out this word, and you make sure you build this, you build up your knowledge, you build up your belief system. I cannot do that. I cannot spit enough, yell enough, preach enough to get this into your heart and for it to stick, but you can. You can get into your word. You can read it and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you and protect you and honor him in this. When you honor God with the word, guess what happens? Woo, heaven moves on your behalf. He begins to unlock some things in your life. And so let's get into our words. Let's learn it. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Ooh, we need some light right now. Listen, speak the word over your household. Speak the word over your children. The other day we were taking a walk, and my son, he was kind of lagging behind, and he said, my knee hurts. And I said, have you prayed over your knee? Like, I'm kind of sick of hearing your knee hurts. I can't fix it. And he said, Well, no. So we stopped right there. We prayed over his knee. And you know what? I didn't hear him saying that his knee hurt him any longer. Because when we start to realize that there's aches and there's pains going on in the earth, there's aches and pains going on in our bodies, but there's a power that covers it all and takes care of it all. His name is Jesus. And when we speak the word over ourselves, when we laid hands on his knee and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And in the name of Jesus, you are healed by the stripes on the cross. That's scripture. Speak scripture over your circumstance. Speak scripture over your healing. Speak scripture over your household and your finances. Speak scripture over what it is that you're dealing with, because you are going to have the power of God released upon you. And a person who trusts the Lord knows his word and believes it and believes it all. So third point, and if we trust God, we know he loves us. Wow, so good. I was like, Lord, we know that you love us. He goes, no, they don't. My daughters need to know how much I think about them. How much I pray for them and intercede over them, that when they're hurt and when they find themselves in places that are not of me, my heart breaks on behalf of them. That they're not alone in their rooms when they cry at night. I'm there with them, holding them. They're not alone in their prayers of discouragement. I'm hearing them. But I need them to know that I am their God and that I am with them and that I'm working things out behind the scenes and that I'm working all things for good. And so, girls, he wanted me to tell you that he loves you. Have you ever had a relationship in your life that has faltered? It's not strong. It's, you know, it's been... Maybe there was rejection. There was something that, a broken trust. So it's hard to feel that you're loved from somebody when there's been a broken trust. You're very guarded. You have your walls up. You're just not sure. But God says, don't treat me like that. I've never broken your trust. I have never left you nor forsaken you. I am not human, but I am the one who loves you and who created you and knows your innermost parts. Isn't that comforting that he's not like the humans that we have to live with every day? He's not like us who falter and who aren't good at a lot of things or are good at a lot of things. God says, listen, you have to understand that I am God and the God of heaven and earth loves you. Wow. Right there, we could just rest in that. Psalms 143:8 says, cause me to hear your loving kindness. In these scriptures, your is highlighted. It's capitalized because it's God's loving kindness. It's not the loving kindness of a friend. It's not the loving kindness of a family member. It's the loving kindness of God of heaven and earth. The one who said day is day and night is night. The one who split the seas. The one who created every living animal. Isn't that amazing? His loving kindness over us in the morning. For in you do I trust. Whew. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. See, when you want to get worried, when you want to feel like you're alone, maybe you are single and you're at home alone. Maybe you are, you know, you don't have people around you that much right now and you're feeling alone. I'm here to tell you, you're never alone with Jesus. Just begin to bring him closer. Begin to feel your time with his love. Begin to enjoy your moments with him and your precious prayer time with him, because this is special side time right now. I mean, we do not normally get this. So spend it with him like you never have before. Take advantage of having some downtime and don't fill it with stupid Netflix things that are perverted and nasty, because girls, you need to watch those ratings. God is saying, don't make him watch that stuff. You go sit down with him and watch what he says to you. Let's see what he says, what he wants. What if you sat there and you just said, God, dream with me. What could I do in a business? And he begins to unfold some things in vision. Visions and wonders and signs. See, God wants to do some things through you. So spend some time with him. Know he loves you and he's your best friend. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Ooh, I love this. Do not fear or be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. I love what God is doing in the body of Christ. He has not left us on our own. He is surrounding us. He is gathering us. He's equipping us. He's building us up right now, guys, for what's next, because we have to be ready for the battle that's ahead. I have a beautiful story in the Bible. It's actually not a Bible story. It's a fun little story about a man. He was a pastor, and he would go visit people in the hospital, and he would bring this bookmark. And on the bookmark, I had a whole bunch of, like, knitted things. And so there's strings that were all just joined together. It looked like a mess. You know, like on the back of a tapestry, how you don't see what it says on the front, but you see what's behind. And he put this bookmark in his Bible, and he would go into the hospitals. And as people were on their deathbeds or they were very sick, he would go in to pray with them and to encourage them. And he would hand them this bookmark. And he would say to them, "What do you see?" And they would respond, "Well, a whole bunch of tangled threads." And he goes, "But turn it over." And when they would turn it over, it said, "God is love." He said it would break down right there. Their sadness, their discouragement, it was like peace just washed over them. God is love. You see, when the world wants to tangle our view of what's going on right now, when the world is unsettling and uneasy, when we don't know what to expect and there's no explanation for what's going on, we hear 50 million things and it seems like chaos and confusion. I want us to flip the script in our hearts. And instead of allowing those confusing things to come in and discourage us, let's focus our attention on the one. His name is Jesus. God is love. He loves me. He's anchored in me. I'm going to be okay through this. This unsteady ground is unsteady, but I don't stand on unsteady ground. I stand on Jesus Christ, who loves me and who's taking care of me. See, God is love, and he loves you, and he wants you to know that. A person who trusts God knows that they are loved by him. Number four, people who trust God, we do not have to live in fear. Isn't that comforting? Fear is just so gripping. You know, it can paralyze you at times. I remember being a little girl and thinking there was like a demon in the house or something going on around me, and I was scared. Or I would have bad dreams. Did you ever see those shadows? And you're like, "What is that shadow?" You know, and I remember just being in my bed like, and I was so paralyzed from it. And not until I became an adult, the Lord spoke to me about this, and he said, it's a spirit of fear that will stop you from moving forward in faith. And you, as a Christian and a daughter of the Most High, need to understand what you're up against, Jess. And I began to learn my authority in Jesus Christ. You see, somebody who trusts in God knows that they have authority over every evil thing here on this earth. That Jesus, when he went to hell, he took the keys of sin and death, and he went and sat at the right hand of the Father, that he left all authority. It says this in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. So go ahead and get in your word and learn it for yourself and speak those scriptures over yourself. It says that he left us all power and authority over principalities of darkness. And so these are dark times, church. These are not good times, church. But guess what is good and what isn't dark? Us. We are the church shining so bright on the top of a hill that the whole world needs to see God's goodness and his glory. Let's speak faith. Let's speak life. When that spirit of fear wants to come against us, you cast that thing out of your home. You know what we did the other night was we went and we got oil. And we went out in front of our house and we anointed our doorpost. Just again. And we anointed all the doorposts, and Dan was like, in the name of Jesus, spirit of fear will not be allowed in our house. No sickness will cross this threshold. And you just go anoint your husband's pillows. You go do what you gotta do, girlfriend, because you need to have and understand that spirit of fear is a foul spirit, and you have power over it, because Jesus living on the inside of you is greater than he that is in this world. And so let's not allow ourselves to walk in fear. 1 John 4, 16 through 18. Will you go there with me? We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Ooh, the church of God can put our trust in God's love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. That's big. That means that we got to live out this life called love. And we got to do it not the way the world calls love. The world has many definitions for love. But if they do not have God in what they call love, it is not love, because God is love. That's just a side note, a little preaching on the side. Verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but when we face him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. Let's talk about this. One day we're going to all die. I tell my kids this. My daughter is like, Mom, that's so morbid. But I tell her, we're dying every day. Everybody is dying every day. But we are not dying. Our flesh is dying, but our spirit man is not dying. And what we do on this earth does count. We will have to give an account for this one day when we meet Jesus face to face. But will we get to heaven like, ooh, I did not live right for him? Or that's a real fear. That should be a fear in us Christians. But if we know that we lived in the love of God and we did what he asked of us and we did what his word said like we've been talking about, then we can go to heaven with a confidence and an assurance knowing that we are going to meet our maker and we are going to have a beautiful conversation and display of love and grace and mercy as he has shown us here on earth. I cannot wait for that day to meet him face to face and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But the only thing we should fear is if we did not live for him on this earth. And then we have to face him and fear of the judgment that he can place on us. You see, that's what fear should be. That's real fear. Verse 18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. That is telling me that spirit of fear that wants to come in and be like, well, what are we going to do if everything opens back up and coronavirus is still around? I'm not leaving my house. That's fear. Do not let fear grip you. You still have to live life. God has not called us to sit and to cower and to not do life. God has called us to get out there, be the church, love on people, build the house of God, build up our children, put faith back in our hearts. You see, for us to sit and cower is exactly what the devil wants us to do so that we will not be a mobile church doing something for the kingdom and taking ground of what the enemy has. Fear, the only thing we fear is God. We fear nothing else. And so when it is not God, you can base it there. You can go, you know what? This is not God. And then at that point, you can say, then I need to switch over. I need to get in faith. I need to get back into my word. I need to speak to the spirit of fear and tell it to go. You see, God is love, and his perfect love casts out all fear. Those that trust God know God's perfect love. And so they can cast out all fear that is coming against us. Church, let's trust him today. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. I love this verse, verse 18. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Psalms 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. I want to be like a mountain that cannot be shaken or moved or swayed. So when the ways of this world and when the influence of the world wants to tell me I can and I can't, but God over here is saying, oh, you can, you can. Remember, we are training you girls. You are the I can woman. That means you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means fear cannot grip you, stop you, or hold you down. But God is in your face saying, come on, baby girl, get your faith back up. Let's stand up. Let's begin to pray like you've never prayed before. Let's train your children in the ways they should go. Let's love your husbands the way that I've asked you to love them, not the way you want to love them. Because with that, God will win over their hearts. You see, God is in control. It is time for us to trust him again. I found this really cool story, and it's about two artists, and they were painting a masterpiece on the ceiling of their church. And there was a mentor and then a young pupil. And when they were done painting it, they were on scaffolding, and the pupil was stepping back, looking at it in all of its array and thinking, wow, we did an amazing job. Well, the mentor noticed if he takes one more step back, he's falling to his death. So the mentor thought, if I cry out to him and say, don't step back anymore, he'll go backwards and he'll fall off the scaffolding. And so what did the mentor think? He thought to himself, what could I do? And so he took his paintbrush and he splashed the whole mural that they had worked so hard on, and he ruined the mural. And what the pupil leaned forward, what are you doing? And the mentor said, you were about to fall to your death. And that was more important than this masterpiece. I can always fix this, but your life matters to me. You see, God says, do not fear. Our lives matter to him. Your life is big to God. He gave it to you. So remember, he's the one that gave it to you, and he does not want you to lose your life on this earth, but he loves you. So those that are in fear over losing your life over this stupid virus, stop. Because God is a God who heals, who restores, who strengthens. Speak the word over this sickness. Tell it to go. Command it to leave. And if you get it, let me tell you, don't be afraid of it. You just begin to heal. Command your body to do what it is His word demands of us. You tell your lungs to begin to breathe again, and you begin to speak life into yourself again. You see, we've got to get ourselves back in faith, church. We have been wimpy for too long, and yet we here as a body of Christ have the power of the Most High God living on the inside of us. This is a double-edged sword. That means it pierces anything that is not of God. So when I want to walk in fear, I do not have the right to do that when I'm a daughter of God. But I've got to step into my soldier position and stand against those things that are coming against us. You see, sometimes God uses trials to protect us from ourselves, especially from the naive and the enthusiasm that could lead us to disaster. Why is this happening? I've been hearing that. Why did God allow this? Do you know? I remember Job saying that. I remember Moses asking those questions. I remember, just read the Bible. God used so many things in the Word of God that seemed like they weren't going to be good or right. But God is saying to you, this is not too big for Him. This is not a shock to Him. He has you in the palm of His hand. Just follow His lead and do not allow that spirit of fear to overcome you. But you are a woman who trusts God. When we find ourselves watching the news, when we find ourselves consumed by this fear, when we fill ourselves up with all of the information of the world, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to know where we're at. But don't let it consume you to where the word of God gets drained out and silenced. We've got to keep the word first in front of us. Because when the word is first, a woman who trusts God can hear that information and go, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? And He will lead you. He will tell you how to pray. He will say, nope, that's not true. And you will hear the truth of what God says and not what the truth of what man says. Let's lean on Him. So today, these are the 4 points. Trusting God looks like He has to be first in our lives. Number 2, that we believe Him at His word and not just part of it, but all of it, okay? We have to know that He loves us, and we do not have to live in fear at all. Isn't that good news? So please keep that in front of you. Get into your word. Go find those scriptures for yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.